This is Action Podcast with Paul Bailey and Sam Forsberg. So today we're going to be talking about money. So it's quite important that I put in this caveat that I don't normally do during the podcast. But basically, because we're going to be talking about money today, it's really important to say we are not financial advisors. We are not going to be giving you any kind of financial advice today. But what we are going to be doing is talking about tips and tricks that we use and that have been working for us, and more really about being aware of your money and your spending and things like that. Does that about sum it up right there for us, Sam?
Yeah, hi, Paul. It does. And one of the things that I find really funny about this is that we're sort of equivalently talking about doing a money reality check, which follows on really well from our topic last week. But what's interesting is that we actually completely missed talking about money in last week's topic, even though that was what gave us the original idea.
Yeah, we were subconsciously avoiding it, I think.
Yeah, definitely. And it's the sort of thing that I think a lot of us can probably put our hands up to and say, oh, yes, I do that to some degree. And it's the idea that we might think, oh, yeah, you know, I know roughly what bills I have to pay every month or roughly what my living expenses are. But unless you have actually really taken those figures and put them down somewhere and added them up properly, then you're actually not working with the full facts. You're working with an estimate. And like we were speaking about last week, sometimes what your perception of something is can be very far removed from what the actual reality is.
That's very, very true indeed. I must admit, I'm not terribly good at taking the receipt that I get from a meal out or my credit card or something like that, and then cross-checking that with the bill at the end of the month. I will quickly scan it, but I'm not very meticulous at it, so I'm not a good boy when it comes to credit cards especially.
Well, I do confess to being someone who does check every entry on my credit card statement, and that's not just because I've been stung once or twice by transactions that weren't mine, but also because I like to keep an eye on what it is I've spent. Now, obviously, that's doing it in a sort of a post-spending mode, which doesn't really help me if I've overspent or bought a lot more things than I'd thought I had. But it certainly does help to keep me reminded, for example, of what my mobile phone bill is this month versus last month and that sort of thing.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's going to probably be the more automated it is to remind me of how much money I have and how much money I've spent, probably the better for me. I'm not one of these people that's very good at updating spreadsheets and cross-checking and ticking things off and things like that. But if I get an automated email that tells me my mobile phone bill's ready, it's £35 this month, then that's probably the best way for me. I'm not going to proactively do it myself. It needs to be something automated for me.
Well, what can be interesting or helpful then in terms of starting to grow your awareness of your finances is to, for example, break it into things like the fixed costs. So those are fixed bills that are the same every month and they have to be paid. You can't live without them. And I certainly include my internet bill in that category. you know, once you've actually worked them out, you've put the figures down, whether it's on paper or in a spreadsheet or something, then that's that. And generally speaking, they won't change. So it's only a one-off process just to look at and give you a snapshot view of, okay, this is what I know definitely leaves my account every month. Then you've got the kind of the necessary variable expenses, and they might be things like your grocery bills and cleaning products, and you might want to include your mobile phone bill in there because that will be variable a lot of the time, those sorts of things. And those are the ones where it can be a little bit more of a sort of, you know, having to juggle them, or a little bit more of having to make an estimate on something, but still to actually use some realistic figures and check back to what your last bills were and maybe take an average of the last three or something like that. And then you've got the category of ad hoc spending, and that's often on luxury items or not necessary ones. And probably for me, that's where the majority of my unexpected expenditure comes from. You know, a few trips to Starbucks actually really adds up quickly.
It does indeed. Yes, I was shocked to see my Starbucks bill last time was £12 for two of us. Not quite sure what we had, but obviously it was made of gold.
Well, I do have to say that it's one of my my preferred luxuries. But you know, there is a difference if you sort of think, you know, your perception is that you only go once or twice a week, you know, and that might be £4 or £5 a time per person, for example. But in reality, it may be that you're actually going 3 or 4 times a week, and there's a big difference where that adds up. And it's that kind of thing that it can be really helpful to get some awareness about, you know, to take it to a really sort of regimented side of things, just to grow your awareness. You could actually carry a little notebook around with you and for a week or two just write down absolutely everything you spend. But that's quite a, you know, a discipline that you need to get into to even remember to do that. And I certainly had a lot of avoidance stuff come up when I was trying it.
I think I would do too. I don't know if I could write down absolutely everything I was spending, but maybe if I should spend the next week or so just actually collecting the receipts and things like that. But it's definitely, you're absolutely right, it's definitely the awareness of what you're spending, because without being aware of what your outgoings are, it's impossible to decide how much you can spend or save at the end of the month. One of the things that we've done right at the beginning of my relationship with me and my partner is that we had a joint account and a joint credit card. And each month we would put a percentage of our salary into the joint account and would only spend outgoings on the credit card. And it's a cashback credit card too, so we get a little bit of a few pennies back each month anyway. But the money that we put into the joint account at the beginning of the month, we pay the mortgage, the bills, the food, and all those kinds of things go out of it. And at the end of that, the money that was left over that we didn't spend gets swept away into a separate account, and that becomes our savings.
Which is really important, actually, because a lot of the time we might think that we want to start saving a bit of money and we might attempt to cut back on some of the spending, like the Starbucks or purchasing a book or some music or an iPod application or something like that. And yet we don't actually remove that money from our accessible account, or however we spend, whether it's with a credit card or whether it's with you know, a current account, that kind of thing. We leave it in there, and then it does actually just get caught up and rolled over, and you look at the account and go, oh yeah, I've got enough for the bills this month, or I've got enough to get a takeaway dinner or something that's not necessarily what you would have done if that money had been in a separate savings account. You end up left with no real benefit for that sort of decision.
Yeah, it's almost a little bit of out of sight, out of mind, isn't it? If it's in your current account where you can spend it automatically, then it's going to get spent. But if you are going to sweep that away and put that into a different account that you don't normally check on a regular basis, chances are you're going to be a lot less likely to spend it, I guess. Well, I certainly would be, because I wouldn't know it was there, or I'd forget about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, a great example as well are things like interest-free terms on credit cards. And I know somebody who had interest-free terms on a credit card for 12 months and had set the intention that they were going to put about £100 a month on, and that would clear it down by the end of the interest-free period. And in the first 9 months, I think there was one payment of £100 that went on, one of £200 that went on, which was almost accidental, if you will, and one of £50 that went on. And so that actually didn't come even close to matching the £100 every month that had been the intention. And yet, because there'd been some and they hadn't been tracking it, they felt that they must have paid, you know, must have paid the amounts off, and then was quite shocked to get to the end of the period and realise there's still quite a balance on there. So, again, it's sort of the awareness of, is what you think you're doing matching what you actually really are doing?
Yeah, and I've had the credit card bill from hell myself, and can certainly relate to thinking that you're paying it off, and then after a few months' time, you look at it and think, well, it's not actually gone down at all. And it can be quite a difficult trap to get out of. I was very lucky in that I had happened to sell a property and was able to pay off that credit card. And from then on, I've always paid it off every month. But I can certainly relate to the difficulty of getting a credit card bill down.
Yeah.
And certainly with the interest-free options that you've got now to move that money to a separate account, certainly it's got to be a good thing.
Yeah, but only if you're actually really properly managing that at the same time, because it is very easy to think, oh, I've got 12 months to pay that off, and then 12 months rolls around and you go, oh dear. So it is quite a dangerous trap, in as much as it's a really good opportunity as well. It just depends on how you handle it.
And it's always nice to be able to actually save something in a separate account and actually see that number go up as well, isn't it? So at least if you do have some credit cards around somewhere, then having that that separate account where you are saving money and you can see that number going up, it's going to give you a little bit of hope, I guess.
Definitely. And one of the interesting things as well is that if you've got some kind of target, you know, whether it's to purchase a particular thing or go on a holiday or if it's just a figure that sounds good to you, if you're working towards saving that, it's going to be much easier than if you just think, I want to try and save some money. Because it's amazing how much it can affect your decisions. Like, I just go in and grab, you know, Macca's for lunch or something like that. And then you kind of stop and go, well, actually, if I want to save, you know, £100 this month, then that would be £5 or £6 towards that £100 that I could save if I didn't go in there. And so it sort of changes the conversation happening in your head at the time of you wanting to make a purchase.
Absolutely. If I stop thinking about things in pounds and actual monetary value and convert that into something that I like, so say for example a computer game, say they're about £40, £45. So if I relate to, say, if I bought a sandwich that was in the local shop was going to be £6, but if I went to a supermarket it would be £3 or £4. Soon that adds up over, say, for example, 10 days. That's a computer game.
Yeah.
And as soon as I started relating it to something that I like and enjoy and you know, can physically think, oh, yeah, I want to get that, suddenly money has much more value to me.
Absolutely. And even if you're doing things, so changing purchasing decisions from something where you're buying the same thing but you're buying perhaps a cheaper version of it, it's only really saving money if you're actually moving that savings elsewhere and treating it as savings. It's not just adding up to be part of the disposable income too. But again, the awareness can really help there, because it's often the fact that you're not aware of the little things or the things that add up over time that you're spending money on. And you might be quite surprised what the difference is between what you think your living costs are every month versus what actually goes out in bills. And there might be a big gap there.
Absolutely. Definitely something to be very cautious of. But I do have to reiterate again, we're not giving financial advice. This is just simply some of the tales and experiences that we've been through ourselves.
Definitely. So we're going to have to wrap up there, I think. But what we might do is just pop a couple of the sort of awareness increasing activities into the post so that people have something that they can refer back to as well. But
that's a great idea.
Hopefully we'll all be saving rich.
I hope so. All right, Sam, thank you ever so much, and take care. I'll speak to you soon.
Thanks, Paul.
So this evening we were talking about saving money, dealing with money, and trying not to spend a little bit too much money. Really, what we're boiling down to here is awareness, working out how much you are spending and how much you are saving, breaking it down, find out what your fixed outgoings are, your mortgage, your telephone bills, things like that, your variable items, your food and some variable bills, and some of the ad hoc items, you know, Starbucks, we all love him. Once you've worked that out, you'll know roughly how much money you can actually save. And For me, myself, it's usually a good idea to keep that out of harm's way and drop it into a separate account. So really, it's the awareness, breaking it down, and if you are able to save money, keep it somewhere else. Enjoy.